What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
We're now joined by Tariq Rauf, one of the media spokespeople for Global Samud Flotilla. Good morning, Tariq. Thank you so much for joining.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
All things considered, I every time I ask somebody that question, I'm like, sorry for asking.
We need a new question.
We need a new question. So me and my friend Kamau Bell, we're trying. That's like one of his opening. One of the things is his opening of his latest routine. I was like, it's the hardest question I'm planning to answer right now. It's like, are you under a rock? How do you think I'm doing? Yeah, I don't. But it's like my first. In fact, right after the show, I was like, hey, how are you? Anyway. All things considered, right? I'm here. I get to do this work. I get to be in conversation with you. We did not cover, so you'll forgive me because I need to go back in time for my listeners because I wasn't able to cover what happened with Flotilla last week. So last week, the main ship, the family, it was last week, right? Time just sort of sometimes.
That's true.
The family boat. So first of all, this Flotilla, I think, because I'm always... not surprised is the wrong word, but I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We're not talking about one boat. We're talking about a fleet of boats. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the flotilla, right? So how many boats are we talking about here?
Yeah, right now we just had 18 boats set sail from Tunisia and from Greece. They just started setting sail towards Gaza right now, but there are more boats on the way. We won't be confirming the number of boats that are going to be out on the water to Gaza until they're out. All on the water to Gaza for security reasons, but it's over like 20 boats. It's not one boat like the standard flotilla missions.
Okay, and so last week there's many boats that are on the water, we're docked at the Tunisian port, and the family boat is struck by. And my run sheet says I'm supposed to say suspected. I'm just going to say it was struck by an Israeli drone, and they can sue me. How about that? Because it was an Israeli drone.
Incendiary devices dropped from a drone that is allegedly assumed to be Israeli. Because, I mean, who else would be striking these ships? But we can't say for sure we know who it is. Yeah. But allegedly, yes.
So what happens when that happens?
Well, what happens is we need to make sure that we don't use it as a distraction method that they clearly want it to be. One of the things that these drone strikes on the boats, specifically the last two that happened on the family and on the Alma, is like they want that to be the news story. They want that to be the question that you're asking. They want that to be the discussion, right? Because it all takes focus away from Gaza. It all takes focus away from the genocide. It takes focus away from the fact that our leaders are guilty for letting this genocide happen. And suddenly the conversation stops being about, okay, well, like, why is this genocide still continuing? The conversation stops being about UN measures to recognize a Palestinian state when in the middle of, like, they can't even assure Palestinian safety. Right. So it's like they hope it's a tactic to also weigh us down and to get us tired, to get us used to, like, stop talking about the flotilla because, oh, well, they've been struck. They're fine. Like, you know, like it's this method that they want us to shift our focus. So we can't let them do that. Right. We have to make sure that we are reminding the world that these flotillas are setting sail because leaders have failed. And because it is like when leaders fail, it is our duty as citizens of this world to step up when they're failing and try and fix their wrongs. And so it's interesting when people bring up the alleged drone strikes, right? I always try and shift the focus back to, okay, well, what do you think Israel is defending with those drone strikes? They're defending, you know. I tend to go on. So
no, you're fine, Tariq. No, you're fine. You're fine. I want us to be able to maximize our time, and also just like that's interesting. You know, that's interesting that would be their hope or that would be what media. I mean, I guess I could see CNN stop, you know, let's stop talking about the genocide and let's just talk about, right, the fact that this ship was bombed. Because for me, on this show, I'm like, oh, yeah, they are murderous, vile, horrific entity that have no problem dropping bombs on citizens, just like mm-hmm. they're doing in Gaza. Right. And at the same time, by, not for nothing, snubbing their nose at international law, because actually they're not supposed to do that. And I always want to remind people that these boats are flying under international flags.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just another example of how far Israel is willing to go to break international law to continue doing what they're doing. Everything that they're doing right now in response to the flotillas and everything they've, like, every time they capture a flotilla before it's like, you know, before it gets to the shores of Gaza is illegal. They're in international waters. And like, Ben Gavir said that he wanted to designate everyone as terrorists on these boats, right? It's another show of, well, you're breaking international law again. You're literally saying, well, we're going to break international again to kidnap these boats that we don't have any legal ground to kidnap, and label these humanitarian workers as terrorists, even though, according to international law, they have every right to attempt to deliver humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza.
All my heroes, my heroes are freedom fighters, every single last one of them, and mad respect for the folks that continue to get on these ships to try to get aid to Gaza, knowing that Israel will go to all and any lengths to stop that aid from being delivered. And most of these folks are just ordinary folks, right? They're the me's and you's of the world that... Mm-hmm. decided that this thing, just talk about a little bit about, because we don't get to smile a lot on this show. Oh. And I think we should talk about the spirits and the hearts of the folks that are on these boats a little bit.
That is my favorite part. That is why I joined this. I'm not a boat person. I'm not a massive activist. I am just, you know, a writer who was like, you know, I am sick and tired of what my government is doing, and I want to do something about it. And that describes every single one of these people on these boats. These are not like activists who've been on the ground at protests, organizing protests, you know, since they were teenagers. These are teachers, they're doctors, they're writers, they're singers, they're poets, you know, average citizens of the world standing up and declaring that they've had enough. And that's what makes this moment, I think, in history so profound, is that we've never seen a mobilization of this scale, where over 20,000 people all over the world, over like 20,000 people wanted to be on these boats. They applied on the application and said, I want to put my body on the Mediterranean Sea because I know that Gaza needs aid, and I know my leaders aren't going to step in to be the ones to deliver it. That is phenomenal. That is absolutely phenomenal. And that explains the moment that we're in. We're in a moment where we're tired of 2 years of genocide. We're tired of 2 years of dehumanization and racism. And like, as a Palestinian, I know my dad never would have, like, if you told my dad what would happen like 5 years ago, even, he'd laugh in our face. He'd be like, no, that's not happening. But this moment is so special because ordinary people are realizing their own power. And I think it's beautiful.
And not only put their bodies on the Mediterranean, let's be real clear, putting their bodies on the line, right?
Mm-hmm. Like,
there's no telling when Israel will move the bomb just a little bit to the right or the left, or whichever, which way, right? And or there's somebody's just standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. And folks are aware of this as they get on the boats. And I'm imagining those conversations with their loved ones before they leave.
I think one of the most, trying to figure out like what word to use, but I guess I would say the most special aspect about those moments is that it provides a lot of clarity and understanding for a lot of people that might not have otherwise understood what families in Gaza are going through. Mm. Because whatever these participants are dealing with, all of the dangers that they are willing to put themselves under, they're putting themselves under this danger for the briefest amount of time. Right. And that little exposure that they have to that danger, to that violence, is something that Palestinians in Gaza face every second, every hour, every minute. And so I think a lot of people who know people on these flotillas are recognizing, whoa, like my friend, my daughter, my son is going through something that other people have to deal with way worse. And I think it brings a lot of perspective to a lot of people that otherwise wouldn't have had it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's, you know, I started to answer this question. I'm still going to ask it. But then I was like, well, Kat, you know, how often are you like in, you know, in a mission going to achieve your goal? So I do a lot of work around state terror, right? And we go in the streets and we do these actions and that again, again. Because the other thing I was thinking was like, and the likelihood of the ships actually getting to the shores of Gaza. I'm not saying they won't, because I believe our ancestors are with us, but the likelihood, right? And yet folks are doing it anyway. Talk about, but it's not willy-nilly, and it's not on a whim. This is strategy. So talk a little bit more about the organizing strategy.
Yeah. So I think it's a mistake to say that this mission is going to be simply about getting the aid to the shores of Gaza. Of course, that is exactly what we want to do, because there's every other method has failed. So we're going to try our hardest to do this. And one thing you often notice about every other flotilla that mission that has gone on, every other flotilla that has been stopped, like just miles away from the shore of Gaza, is that this is about inspiring people to stand up. This is about recognizing the accountability of our leaders and recognizing the failures of our governments. And when governments fail, the people must step up to do the work. And this is about inspiring people and showing people with their own eyes. You can look and see what is possible when people come together to build something, to stand up against these systems of injustices. You know, this is an example of Palestinian Samud. You know, I mean, it's called the Global Samud Flotilla because Samud is the Palestinian word for steadfastness, right? It is, steadfastness is something that Palestinians have in our blood, in our bones.
Yes, you do.
You know, yeah. So it's like, we're as hardy as our olive trees is what we like to say. You know, our olive trees last thousands and thousands of years. And it's exactly like it describes our spirit. And that's what this mission is all about. It's about inspiring people to keep on going, to keep on trying, because we're the closest to a free Palestine we ever have been.
I know. And I think, and I didn't get to get in this with Phyllis, right? And I think like we say a lot in the Black community, talking about my people. We say a lot that white folks, just part of what infuriates them, right, in escalation of violence, is they can't figure out how we're still here, right? They've done everything in their power to get rid of, and we're still, not only are we still here, we're still fighting. And I say the same thing about white supremacy and Palestinians, right? They're like, how is it that they're, and not just still here, still fighting, and have now inspired this international movement, because all of us see ourselves, in Palestine. And I think part of why the violence has gotten, I mean, it was always horrific, but that we're seeing this level of, really it is unprecedented murderous violence, is because Palestinians are closest to a free Palestine than they've ever been. And if this Zionist occupying colonist regime falls, right, what is the domino effect, right, then when oppressed peoples of the world unite? And with statement, right, you all gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's the way Palestine is so interconnected in all things, right? It's a representation of so many things that are dragging so many other peoples down, so many people down, right? It's colonization, it's white supremacy, it's capitalism. And it is just an example of what happens. Like, I mean, Israel is an active settler colony, right? Like we're used to talking about settler colonies in our history books, right? We're used to learning about what happened to the United States. We're used to learning about what happened to the rest of Africa and Europe, or the Middle East, right? And this is an example of people saying, no, we're done with settler colonization. It's indigenous people's time now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tariq Rouf, what would you like to say to people that are listening to you right now? There's a lot.
I would like to say that I hope you use this moment to figure out what you can do with your own power, because we each have power to change the world. And sometimes it gets a little daunting when we think about the world in a great big scope. And all you have to do is think about what you can do to change your own world. Talk to your neighbors, talk to your bosses, talk to your community members. That's how you change the world, and figure out what kind of disruptive direct action you can take, because this is about standing up together. And we didn't do this on our own. We did this with community. So find out who's angry with you and stand up against the people that be, that the powers that be, because we all have it in us to stand up against this.
Tyke Roof, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and thank you for your work.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.